But I want to start out the new year for publicly acknowledging my secretary, Debbie Yater. I want to thank you for everything you do. Years and years and years ago, we started this church together. She helped me get all the paperwork together, and God sent her back here. And man, if I didn't have her, I would be just, my workload would be quadrupled. That's how good she is. And she keeps me freed up to get in the Word and to go pray and preach and everything else. And she's already got your tax receipts ready to go, and pretty much, and you'll be getting them pretty soon. And I just want to thank God for her, and I do every day anyway. Please give her a hand. She's the backbone of this church. She does so much behind the scenes, and I just couldn't make it without her. I'd probably have to hire three young girls to do what she does. Her work ethic, and it's just, she's thinking, what do you need, Pastor Jeff? No, I just want to thank her. And Bill can tell you, Bill would be lost without her, just like the church would. And, you know, he's got it made, man. I'm telling you, he really does. And, no, they're really a blessing to this church. And I remember when the Lord told me that he was going to move her back here, I was just praising God. But I titled this sermon, Become a Servant. And, Become a Servant. How many times have we heard this past 2 or 3 weeks, or maybe this past month, the phrase, Happy New Year? People come in here this morning saying, Happy New Year. But Happy New Year can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, couldn't it? Because it takes different things to make different people happy. Amen. Different strokes for different folks, right? If you ask 10 different people what would make them happy, you'd probably get 10 different answers. Some would say more money. It wouldn't make you more happy. You just think it would. Some would say a better job. Some would say a better marriage. We all need that. Some would say a better place to live. But do you know that it's only recorded in the Bible one time did Jesus say that we would be happy? Only one time he said that we would be happy. One time. And now another word, happy, is used. Happy is those who find wisdom. Happy are those that read the Word. But Jesus said only one thing would make us happy. What do you think it was? Getting healed? No. Prosperity? No. A new spouse? No. That definitely won't make some of you happy. Hallelujah. But the only way you'll have a happy new year, Jesus said, is by learning to serve others. Come on, help me out a little bit. Learning to serve others. Or in other words, by becoming a servant. Jesus was the greatest servant that ever walked planet Earth. The greatest one. He was also the greatest teacher about life. He lived what he preached. He led by example. He truly understood why man was created, what their purpose was, and what his purpose was. And I want to start out in the gospel that Matthew wrote, chapter 20. And I want to read verses 20 through 28. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Now, Zebedee was the mother of James and John. So, James and John's mother comes with James and John to Jesus. They want to ask him a favor. And he said, what do you want? Verse 21. And she said to him, I want you to grant these to my sons that they may sit one in your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. Man, that's a big thing to ask right there. But Jesus answered and said, you don't even know what you're asking, lady, basically. He said, are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said, yeah, we're able. You know, it's one thing to talk the talk. It's another thing to walk the walk. Come on, help me out just a little bit. Come on. He said to them, okay, you're going to drink of my cup and you're going to be baptized of the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left It's not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. He said, I don't have that right to do that. He said, it's not my place to say who's going to sit on my right hand and on my left hand. He said, that's up to my dad to do it. That's up to the Father. I have nothing to do with that. Now, when the other 10 disciples heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren, against James and John. Let me tell you what, those disciples weren't as perfect as what people want to think. They all had issues. They always were arguing who's going to be the greatest, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. So James and John, they go to their mom and say, hey, mom, maybe if you ask Jesus, he'll be a little easier on you. We would like to ask him to sit on his right hand and left hand, but mom, how about you doing it? Let me just say this. Mom can't do for you what God can do for you. Dad can never do for you what God can do for you. Don't look to man this upcoming year. Look to God first. Come on. Look to God first. First and foremost. And man, they were mad and moved with indignation. So Jesus called them all over and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him minister to you. Now this is good stuff here. And whosoever will be your chief among you, whoever wants to be the chief, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He got the disciples together. He said, your priorities are wrong. You want to be served when you are called to be a servant. Come on. Every one of us, under the sound of my voice, are called to be servants. Amen. He said, if you want to be great, serve others. You want to become a chief, become a servant. And then he said, I didn't even come to the earth to be served, but to serve others with my life. And he tried to teach them this principle of serving others to the extent that he even humbled himself and washed every one of their feet. Think about that for a moment. When I was working on this yesterday and studying and chewing on it and meditating on it, the greatest, how can I say this? The greatest man that ever walked the face of this earth came to die for us. God's Son in the flesh, the way he was born, the way he lived, and the way he died, and the servanthood that he had. Could you imagine the Son of God who created everything? He was there washing someone's feet. The gospel according to John, and we're going to tell you some really good stuff here this morning. Hopefully I can give it to you as the Lord gave it to me. Chapter 13, verses 12 through 17, and after he washed their feet, he took his garments and sat down again, and he said to them, he said, do you realize what I have just done to you? I often thought about when he got to Judas, and Judas is sitting there, and Jesus gets a towel and a basin of water and starts washing the feet of the very one who was to betray him. Man, just think about that just for a minute. Jesus, the Son of God. And he said, do you understand what I just did to you? He said, verse 13, you call me master, you call me Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I'm saying unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that has sent him. If you know these things, if you get a revelation of what I'm trying to tell you, if you get a revelation of being a servant, Not just washing feet. Now, he's talking about humbling yourself and serving others in whatever capacity that we have the ability to do. He said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Happy are you. This is the only thing that Jesus said would make someone happy is when they become a servant. Ooh, that's good to them. He said, I'm giving you an example here to follow. Do you realize what I've done to you? Do you realize just what happened? I, the Lord God, the Son of God, just washed your nasty, stinking feet. You're always arguing, you're always bickering, one of you are going to betray me, but I just washed your feet. But he said, if you'll get a revelation of becoming a servant, he said, you're going to be happy. Hallelujah. Let me just say this, and this is a fact. The happiest people are not always the most successful people by the world standard, but they are the ones that serve the best. Come on. The happiest people. Success to the world is making money and doing this and driving a nice car and all that. And listen, that don't make you happy. That don't make you blessed. That doesn't help your marriage. That doesn't help you get your healing when sickness knocks on your door. Listen. The happiest people are not always the most successful people by the world standard, but they are the ones that serve the best. I've met a lot of unhappy, quote, successful people in my life. And I know millionaires, and I know people that don't have two nickels run together. I know a lot of people. And the happiest ones I know are those that learned to serve others in whatever capacity that God has called them to serve in. They haven't found biblical key to happiness. I'm giving you some biblical keys this morning to start out the new year with. The Bible says the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Luke is one of my favorite gospel writers. Actually, he was a physician. He wrote the gospel according to Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. And he recorded this in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24. He was right there when Jesus was saying this. He was recording it. Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it or save it. And there's nothing like finding what God has called you to do and walk in it. Nothing. I never thought life could be so good at my age. I was going to become an engineer. I had already had one degree. I had 6 years military active, 6 years I was working for the government. And God called me to walk off the government, and a series of things took place to lead us where we're at today. Some of you have heard about it, some of you haven't. But there's nothing like finding the place that God has for you and learning to serve others. Amen. If you want to truly have a happy new year, listen, learn to add value to someone else's life. Come on. Learn to add value to someone else's life. No one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of someone else. Let me just say that again. No one is useless in this world who helps lighten the burdens of someone else. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. I like that. Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. And that was just a fact. He learned that from the Word of God. When Jesus' disciples were arguing about which one of them was going to be the greatest, I want you to look what Jesus told them. We're going to go to the Gospel according to Mark now, chapter 9, verses 33 through 35. He sat down. He came to Capernaum. Here we go. I was in the wrong verse. Being in the house, he asked them, what were you disputing about along the way? Like he didn't know, right? Jesus is trying to minister to other people, looks back and the disciples are arguing. Why do you think the disciples couldn't get that man's son healed who had a demon in him? This man had a demon. It was in him from a child. It would throw him into the water, tried to drown him, throw him into the fire, tried to burn him up. And this man took him to the disciples. The disciples couldn't help him. They put their self. Come on. He said, what were you arguing about along the way? But they held their peace. They didn't say nothing. They shut their mouth. For by the way, they disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and he called the 12 and said unto them, he already knew what they were arguing about. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. He was trying to tell them, listen, you want to be great? Learn to become a servant. You want to be blessed? Learn to become a servant. Quit arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Put yourself under, put your flesh under, and learn how to serve. Amen. Put others first if you want to be great. Now, let me just say a couple things about a true servant. Let me say this. Let me go to my scripture here. It's awful quiet in here. Ain't getting too many amens. Come on, help me out a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, you're like the disciples, man. They shut up real fast when you talk about serving. We want to hear about being blessed. We're going to teach you how to be blessed. How to have the best new year you've ever had. A servant puts service over status. Can I say that again? A servant puts service over status. How many times have I said, heaven's not impressed with your earthly position? God don't care how high up you are on the food chain. He don't care how many accolades you have. He don't care about all that stuff, what you have hanging on the wall. What he cares about, are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and are you serving others? Philippians chapter 2, and I want to read the first 8 verses here. And if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. In other words, no big eyes and little U's. Now, I love verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Being in the form of God, he didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, but, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which was the most gruesome crucifixion death there was at that time. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Too many people are full of themselves. The flesh is selfish. You ever see people's selfies on their Facebook page? Have you ever seen that? Huh? Some of them have all these pictures of only themselves, always taking selfies and posting them for all to see. And let me say this, young ladies, if you are a member of Church Alive and are putting selfies on Facebook showing your butt cheeks, get them off of there. Did I say that right? Cover your nasty looking self. You're putting the bait out. You're better than that. Somebody just shut me off on live stream. I can't believe that came out of me. That had to be the Holy Ghost. She goes to church alive. What kind of church is that out there? Let me get back to preaching. The flesh. Well, just let me say this. I'm going to get all of us now. None of us are off the hook today. Why is it when someone takes a group picture with you in it, and you see the picture for the first time, who do you look for first? Come on. Somebody takes a group picture and you're in it, and you look at that picture. Who does your eyes go to first? Yourself. It's natural, right? You go right to yourself. You judge the whole picture based on how you look. And if you don't look good, hey, can you take that picture over again? Some of you know what I'm talking about today. Come on. This is good stuff to start the new year out with because it's true, right? Glory to God. You judge the whole picture based on how you look. Yep. And if you don't look good, you take another one. So you can adjust your face and where you look better. Huh? Why? Because we're all housed in flesh and the flesh is naturally selfish. Come on. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us to put our flesh under. Help me out. A servant puts service over status. Let me just say this. A servant also puts character over comfort. A servant also puts character over comfort. They do what's right, whether they feel good or not. And I want to go back to Brother Luke's gospel in the 10th chapter. You getting anything out of this today? Come on, this is good preaching. Baby, it's cold outside, so just stay in the warm. We got all day. Amen. I honestly think sometimes they want to say it's going to snow, so everybody will go out and buy all the bread and milk. The grocery stores are packed today with bread and milk, bread and milk. Yeah. Luke chapter 10, verse starting in verse 25. Look what it says here. Behold, a certain lawyer. Man, he stood up. He was going to, he's smarter than Jesus, see. He's got a PhD and, well, he's just, you know what I mean? And he tempted Jesus, thought he would test him. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Right in front of the whole crowd. Jesus said, what is written in the word? Have you read it? He answering said, oh, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, the neighbor is thyself. He had it memorized. And Jesus said to him, yeah, you're answered right. This do and you'll live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? And boy, Jesus told him here. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side, wouldn't even help him. And likewise a Levite, when he was at this place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, I'm glad he said Samaritan, because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They were racially prejudiced against the Samaritans until Peter went to Cornelius' house and God straightened him out real quick. He said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and he saw him and he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, poured oil and wine and set him on his own beast and took him to an inn and he took care of him. And the next day he departed and took out some money and gave it to the host, the head of the inn, and said, take care of this guy. And if you spend any more than that, when I come again, I'll repay you. And now, which of these three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. Come on. What an example Jesus set for him. The Samaritan did what was inconvenient because he knew it was the right thing to do. He went out of his way, even spent the night with this man on his journey. I'm sure he had things to do. I'm sure he was busy. But he put this man above himself. Character over comfort. The priest and the Levite both saw this man before the Samaritan came along and passed him by. I'm sure they got real religious. They got down the road and they probably prayed for him. Oh, Lord, I pray you help that poor man back there, Lord. Come on. It's amazing how Christians can make prayer the biggest cop-out sometimes. Ooh, that hit somewhere. Ooh. I'm telling you the truth today. I'm anointed to do this today. Come on. I'm not that smart, fellas. Sometimes we just need to shut our mouth and do something and serve. Stop telling everybody what we're going to do. We just need to shut up and serve. James got so tired of hearing church folk talk about how much faith they had and they didn't do anything with it that he addressed it in his epistle. And I love the book of James, man. He puts you want to be sanctified? Read the book of James every day. I guarantee you'll watch this a little bit more. But he got tired of hearing, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I got faith. And he wrote this in his epistle because of that very thing. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 20. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Doesn't do anything with it. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you don't give them anything to help those things that are needful to their body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. A man can say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Oh, big deal. He said, you do well. He said, the devils also believe. You ain't, come on. Oh, I believe in God. I believe in God. I believe in God. So does the devil. Shut up and do something. That's good stuff. That's what James is saying. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Man, that's good stuff. Don't get quiet on me now. Come on, it's going to get better. A true servant doesn't have to tell anyone how much faith he has. It will be seen by how he serves others. Come on, come on, help me out. He will show the world that he puts his character over comfort. We must learn to put we over me. Let me show you the difference between the way a servant thinks and a selfish person thinks. When Pilate was being pressured to crucify Jesus, he took a basin of water and he washed his hands and excused himself of the responsibility of what he was supposed to do. You're back to Matthew, and it's written right there. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24. Anybody getting anything out of this today besides me? When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See that you do it. He excused himself of his responsibility because of pressure. Hallelujah. Now let me just say this. On the other hand, Jesus took a basin of water and washed the disciples' feet. Pilate took a basin of water and washed his hands of his responsibility. Come on. He washed the feet of those who would cuss him, those who was about to deny him. He washed the feet of those who at the darkest time of his life would turn their back on him, forsake him, and run. And he still washed their feet. And then he told his disciples to do the same thing and they'd be happy. How can you be happy serving someone or serving people that betray you? How can you? Well, Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, you do it unto him. You need to realize that when you do it to people, you're doing it unto him. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. Matthew 25, 31 through 40. Did I give you that passage? Well, you got it now. You should be led by the Spirit, Ashley. You should have known. No, just kidding. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left, and the king shall say to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you came to visit me. I was in prison, you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, say, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in? When did we see you naked and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come unto you? This is good stuff. The king shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now, they didn't go to heaven because of their works. They were rewarded of their works because they were servants. Come on. They didn't do what they did to make heaven. They did what they did because they were already going to heaven. And they were thankful. And they understood why they were on planet Earth. Amen. That's just such good stuff here. And when you serve others, you're serving Jesus. Now, let me just say this. Whether people appreciate it or not, you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for him. Help me out a little bit. Let me give you something to think on this morning. Paul, Sherry, those in the ministry, all of you. If you are going to be a bridge to help people cross over to a better life, then you're going to be walked on. If you are going to become a bridge to help people cross over to a better life, you're going to be walked on. People are cruel. Amen. I know what it's like to be walked on. You marry people. You bury people. You sit in hospital waiting rooms while they're in surgery. You help them out financially. You do everything you can, and then they get disgruntled and leave the church. You never hear from them again. They don't tell you why. And some of them even bash your character. You think it's easy, my job? Amen? But you have to remember what Jesus told you to remember. Gospel according to John chapter 15 and verse 20. Look what he said. Remember the word that I said unto you. Church, born again believer, those that are serving him. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So give the Lord a hand if you're being persecuted. Amen. Persecution comes with servanthood, but the reward is greater than the persecution. Come on. Persecution always comes with servanthood, but the reward is much greater than the persecution. This is good stuff. This is good teaching. Amen. I see Joe Ritter, his gears are turning, man. He's getting a lot of this stuff. Amen. Think about that. But servanthood also comes with a great anointing. It's not done through the natural human strength. It's done with God's blessing on you. Listen, the blessing on you that cannot be described in the wisdom of man's words. Look back to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 22 through 38. This is worth hanging around for. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they'll separate you from their company, reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Many of you have lost friends when you started serving God. Let me just tell you this, they were friends worth losing. Now you belong to a family. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that. Come on. He said, rejoice in that day. Leap for joy. Why? Your reward is great in heaven. Man. One day, I don't know when that's going to be. I'm hoping and believing that we're all going to go up together in a rapture. But one day, when I stand before the Lord, all the lies, all the persecution, all the garbage, all the hard times, all the people that hurt you in your life. And listen, you're not even going to think about that. When he says, enter in, thou good and faithful. Don't you want to hear that? Enter thou in, thou good and faithful servant. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Enter thou in. Hallelujah. He said, rejoice in that day. Leap for joy. Your reward is great in heaven. For the like manner did their fathers to the prophets. Now, don't take verse 24 wrong. Woe to them that are rich. In other words, woe to them that serve riches. It's okay to have riches as long as riches don't have you. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Pilate was Joseph of Arimathea. Amen? Anybody remember him? What did he do? Took the body of Christ, right? Come on. He was a rich disciple. If he didn't have that influence, he wouldn't be able to get the body of Christ, right? Right. So don't get this wrong. Don't say, oh, it's wrong to have money. No, it's not wrong to have money as long as money don't have you. But we are accountable to be good stewards of what God blesses us with. Amen. Woe to you that are full. Yeah, full of yourselves, right? For you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all men shall speak well of you because you've done all these things. For their fathers did to the false prophets. Now here's what I want to get to. I say unto you, this is one of the toughest things that I've learned to do. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them which curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. Don't pray that they'll fall off a cliff and die. Pray that they'll change so they'll make heaven and not hell. That's what you need to pray. Come on. Unto him that hits you on the one cheek, offer the other. I was watching a Western one time, and there was a really spiritual man on this Western. And this man hit him right across the face. He said, the good Lord said that I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. He said, but he didn't say nothing about the second time. He said, he left that up to me, and he just tore the place up. Amen. This is good stuff here. This is servanthood, right? Anybody wants your coat? Give it to them. Give people what they need. Him that takes your stuff, don't ask for it back. That's hard to do when somebody rips you off. If you've ever been ripped off, you understand. You really got to pray that off. But here's verse 31. As you would that men should do to you, do to them likewise. When you see someone in a certain situation, think, man, if I was in that situation, man, what would I want somebody to do for me? If you love them which love you, what thanks do you have? Sinners also love those that love them. Isn't that right? If you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks do you have? Sinners do the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks do you have? Sinners do the same thing. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. I've had so many people close to me saying, you're an easy touch. You let people take advantage of you.
Well, they don't understand that I have a revelation.
Thank you. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and you won't be judged. Condemn not, you won't be condemned. Forgive, you shall be forgiven. And give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you give, it'll be given back to you again. He's talking about servanthood. Look at the rewards of becoming a servant. He said, you shall be called the children of the highest. Learn to become a servant this year. Learn to put others before yourselves. That should be every believer's New Year's resolution. It's the only biblical way to have a happy new year. And when we take communion this morning, we need to remember Jesus' body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you. He died for you. He lived for you. His entire life was based around you, not himself. And how you serve him is how you serve others. I'm not bragging about this, but many times in my life, I would be in a gun shop. And man, I'd see a gun and I mean, oh my. Guys, you ever do that? You just had to have it? You didn't need it, but you just had to have it. There it is. And you're thinking, oh, I got to have this. And then I'll buy it and I won't even shoot it. I'll put it in a safe. A year or two later, here's what the Lord says. I want you to give so-and-so that gun. That was never for you to start with. That was for them. Never been shot, never. I've done this, gosh, so many, and I'm not bragging, so many times. I could never keep count of how many times I've done this. And when you give them your prized possession, and they look, and they're so thankful, they say, and it really what blesses you when they said, this is the gun I've wanted all my life. You know what that does to you? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Come on. More blessed to give than it is to receive. It's called becoming a servant. And how we serve him, listen, we serve him by how we serve others. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to close, we're going to take communion in just a little bit. Verses 7 through 10. But the end of all things is at hand. Be there, be sober, watch unto prayer. Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Yeah, that's how we're supposed to do it. Let me tell you, that's how we're supposed to do it. And we're going to stop right there. And let's just give the Lord a hand right there for that message. I feel it's time to stop and I feel it's time to take communion. And let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to praise you this morning and I want to thank you this morning for this word. A word in due season. A word that we can start the year out, 2025, becoming a servant. I realize we can't do everything for everyone. I realize that, Lord, but we can do our part. in the world that we live in the space that you've provided for us, in the environment that you've provided for us. And Father, as we take communion this morning, I want to thank you for adjustments to be made that we'll judge ourselves and become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. If those four ushers will come back up here, please, and pass out the elements. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Wasn't that a good message from heaven? Especially the young people. Some of you want to become this and become that and become this. And there's nothing wrong with that. But always remember, become a servant first. I want to read one more passage of Scripture. Can you put this up for me? 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. And then we'll go to the 11th chapter. I like what Paul read here. I just thought about this and I had it on my notes. And Paul said here, though I be free from all men. He said, I don't have to do anything. He said, but though I be free from all men, I don't have to do anything, yet I have made myself servant to all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew and that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without the law, being without law to God, but under the law to Christ. Why? That I may gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers of Christ with you. In other words, Paul didn't say, well, I got down and drank with them or smoked dope with them. He said, but I found everyone I met, I found a common denominator with. I found something to talk about so I could let them know that I'm a servant, so I could lead them to Christ. And it's amazing when you do things for people that don't even go to church or don't even, you know, want to come. It's amazing when you do an act of love for them. They're going to say, man, this guy's different. What's he have? And we're servants so we can lead people to Christ. If you really had a revelation of how bad hell is, you wouldn't want anybody to go. And that's why we're here, to be witnesses and to be servants. Amen? Amen. Paul said that, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. He says, I'm doing it for you. And this do in remembrance of what I've done for you. I want to thank you, Father, for healing. And I ask God for the healing power of God to touch everyone in this facility that needs a healing. In the name of Jesus. They came out in this cold weather on this hill. They didn't have to. And Lord, we want to praise you this morning. I want to thank you for your healing power. That there are those that maybe they're too stubborn, maybe they're too prideful, whatever the case may be, to come to the altar. But Lord, I just ask right now that you'll heal them in Jesus' name. That later on today, that they're going to realize that you touched their body because they came to church. And because Jesus was beaten beyond recognition and died on the cross for their healing. Thank you for that, Lord. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do often as you drink it in remembrance of what I've done for you. Lord, we want to thank you that no matter how many times we messed up, that you shed your blood for us. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We want to praise you for that. We want to thank you for that. And I pray that you'll help every one of us, starting with me, to be a better servant this upcoming year. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.